Howdy, neighbors. Welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast. Ron Hayes with you, and we've got Congressman Frank Lucas joining us today. We're talking about a variety of subjects, including CFIUS, the SEC Scope 3 ruling, Farm Bill, some of the things going on in his science committee, and even a little bit on wildfires. Quite a conversation we've had with the Congressman this go-round, and we're back with him in just a moment.
Attention farmers and ranchers, don't miss the Oklahoma City Farm Show April 4th through 6th at the OKC Fairgrounds Bennett Event Center. See the latest in farm and ranch equipment and services from more than 300 exhibitors, along with seminars from OSU Extension. Arrive early for free coffee and rolls and register to win $1,000 in show bucks sponsored by Great Plains Kubota. Show hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 4 p.m. Saturday. Admission and parking are free. Visit OklahomaCityFarmShow.com for details.
Talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, former chair of the House Agriculture Committee, now the senior member of the committee, and several things that we did want to visit with you today, Congressman. Right now, literally, we've just seen this minibus pass the House of Representatives, probably going to be worked on in the Senate to avert the government shutdown, and that does include agriculture and FDA, and within that, I know there's some language that you have been a part of, the so-called CFIUS language. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, Ron. I've been working for a long time on this foreign land ownership issue, and it became critically more important when we went into the medical marijuana business in Oklahoma, and suddenly we developed all sorts of strange entities owning property in our great state. I had a difficult time getting the attention of my colleagues in Congress because it just didn't seem like that exciting an issue. But a few years back, when it turned out the Chinese had purchased farmland near military bases, suddenly the folks up here woke up. And then with the drug-related issues, that woke up more people. So in this appropriation bill, that six bills which fund a big portion of the federal government, passed out of the House, now waiting to go to the Senate, is the language that I have worked on, well, literally since I wrote a letter to the GAO in 2022, asking them for a review of foreign land ownership, and they responded there was 40 million acres of foreign land ownership in the United States by 2021. We crafted the Agriculture Review Act. It's now a part, it was a part of the appropriation bill. It's now cleared the House and gone to the Senate, where I hope they'll take it up shortly. But we had to get something going, and this is a big step in the right direction.
Why is it a step in the right direction?
Because this was not a particularly high focus at USDA under the Biden administration. And while it matters to everyone in rural America, and it matters particularly to people in Oklahoma, we had to get their attention. The bill also includes money for a reporting process to go from pieces of paper to electronic filing of this stuff, so that we'll be able to pursue it. And it makes, in particular detail, the Secretary of Agriculture a part of the CFIUS board, because of the national food security issues, which Secretary Vilsack agreed a long time ago that he should be on that board, and we're now bringing attention. First thing we have to do is figure out how much of this stuff there is. It has to be in information that's available to state and local authorities, because in many states like Oklahoma, it's against state law for entities to own farmland. But as my state authorities kept telling me, with all the LLCs and all the legal gobbledygook, we're having a hard time finding them. This will make it easier.
I guess folks like our Attorney General and others within state government will be appreciative of that.
The AG's made it very clear that he will aggressively enforce state law. He just needs the information so that he can enforce it. This is a big step in giving Attorney General Drummond the tools he needs, the resources he needs to use his tools, I should say.
Let's talk, maybe, you know, we'll get back to the appropriations here in a moment, but the other thing that's kind of a breaking news type of thing is that just this week, we've got the Securities and Exchange Commission kind of backing off their earlier idea of wanting to get an individual report from every from a farm and ranch in America regarding greenhouse gas emissions. They have backed off of this Scope 3 concept.
Scope 3, but as important as that victory was, I would remind all of our listeners, Ron, they still are going forward with a rule that requires climate disclosure. This just means that we have won the first step of the battle, but we've got to continue the battle. When you give the federal government, by rulemaking fiat, the ability to demand that companies provide numbers on climate risk, you demand that the company management assess the material climate risk, you basically are compelling companies to provide information. Now, technically with Scope 3 out of there, they may not be able to instantly and directly come back on us, but this is still a bad deal, and we have to work to overturn the rest of the SEC's environmental rules. So partial victory, but we still got a fight ahead of us.
I guess that means that corporate America might say, well, you make us come up with these reports. We've got to have more information down the chain.
Absolutely. If you want me to buy your cattle, if you want me to buy your wheat, if you want me to buy your cotton, your corn, then you got to verify to me that this is clean. Securities and Exchange Commission may not require me as a farmer to report that, but if the people I'm selling it to, my products to, demand it before they'll give me a market, it's the same trap.
Let's talk a little bit about the rest of that ag and FDA appropriations measure that was a part of this minibus that you've just approved in the House. What are some things that really stick out to you that are positive for U.S. and Oklahoma agriculture?
First of all, this set of bills that we passed should have been passed last September. So, like many things in the environment up here, where you have a two-seat Republican majority in the House, a one-seat Republican majority in the United States Senate, and a White House that seems to be on autopilot, it should have been done months and months ago. Funding the basic operations day-to-day at USDA is important. The Farm Bill provides mandatory money for crop insurance, price protection, a variety of programs, but the salaries, the expenses of running the operations, the computers, the software, all of that sort of stuff is funded by the annual appropriation. So we were in risk if we had a shutdown of the government, of the USDA offices, the FSA offices, the NRCS offices being locked up. Are there areas that cause me some angst? Well, there was some shifting around of conservation monies in the upstream flood control program that I'm not particularly pleased with. But the bottom line is this: we are funded. We're good to go now till the end of September 2024, and almost immediately my Appropriation Committee friends will begin working on fiscal year 2025. This had to be done, it got done, and we can move forward.
How contentious will be that second half, that other minibus that will be brought forward and worked on here right away?
It'll include the Department of Defense money. There'll be money for most of the social service agencies. It will be complicated, this second tranche. But having passed the first, I think we're in a good position to take the second up. And as the final details are being worked out on those bills, and we're not there yet, the appropriators in the House are working to sort all that out. And in conjunction, I think, with the other body, we'll see what the final details are, but we've got to finish this year's appropriations process. I serve with some people who want to do a shutdown, but in the environment I'm in, if you shut the government down, how do you get it started back up again without President Biden and Majority Leader Schumer in the Senate and Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries in the House demanding a king's ransom? We don't have the money to pay for their ransom.
Hopefully, if we you're successful in this this second half of this funding for the rest of this fiscal year, are you hoping that Speaker Johnson will find some time for floor action for a conversation on the 2024 Farm Bill?
Absolutely, Ron. There are so many things like the Farm Bill, reauthorizing the Weather Act, NDAA, the National Defense Reauthorization Act. There's so many pieces of legislation that have to have spending allocation numbers to be written. And until this appropriation cycle, which hopefully will be completed in the next 10 days, is done, then we can't discuss spending for the coming year and make the allocations to the various committees. Chairman G.T. Thompson of the Ag Committee is ready to go. He is ready to go with a markup, but we have to know where we are. financially, what kind of resources we have to work with. Many of my producers in a variety of crops would like to make adjustments for reference prices. Think about the inflation since 2018. Think about the trade war effect on our producers. Think about the COVID effect on our producers. The safety net, no matter how well structured it was in the 2018 Farm Bill, does not reflect the cost of inputs right now or what it's done to most of the grain commodity prices. We need some extra money, and we should soon know what we're going to have to work with, and then we can get a bill done.
Do we have enough time to really get this whole process done, House, Senate, conference committee and the like?
Bear in mind, we're not rewriting the Farm Bill as we did in 2012 and 13 and 14, where we had to change the design of the programs. This is taking the concepts of the 2014 Farm Bill, which were modified in the 18 Farm Bill, and adjusting them to reflect the new reality. It's not a rewrite. It's a tweaking. We can do that. We just need some money so we can address reference prices and some of those issues. And if we get our work done in the House, or when we get our work done in the House, I think that will motivate the United States Senate. They just need to pass something. And then we'll take a House pass bill, and whatever they pass, we'll go to a conference committee. We'll do it the way historically legislation has always been put together, especially farm bills, and we'll work out our differences.
So if we're able to do that, obviously the clock is ticking. It is an election year, as you well know. You feel like there still can be a 2024 farm bill.
Absolutely. You've got a situation where you have an incumbent president running for re-election. I've never, Ron, known an incumbent president who didn't have the biggest ceremony imaginable when they were signing a farm bill. We get it to the White House, it'll be signed. Chairwoman Stabenow of Michigan, the United States Senator, Chairwoman of the Ag Committee, this is her last year. She's not running for re-election. She's vacating her seat. So this is her legacy bill. She has a huge incentive to do that. In the House, we just know that the farm bill has to be brought up to date to reflect what producers are dealing with. And that gives us a huge incentive. So everybody has a very enlightened self-interest. We just need numbers so we can move.
One last question. Over on the committee that you chair, Science Committee, obviously you've got the reauthorization of the weather bill. You've mentioned that. Is that your top priority for 2024?
Actually, we have basically, I would describe five big things out there. The Weather Act of 2017 that I wrote needs to be reauthorized, and that matters to every farmer, every oily, every person who drives to and from work every day. Weather forecasting is critically important, and it matters because of the big NOAA facility in conjunction with the University of Oklahoma in Norman, Oklahoma. There's also the quantum computing bill. This process of developing the next generation of computers that can crunch massive amounts of information and give us the ability to do things that we've not been able to do before. We need to reauthorize that, the second five-year bill, shifting from the idealistic nature of design work to practical applications. There is an AI, an artificial intelligence task force that's been put together by the leadership of the House. I believe that will lead to a second AI research bill in the mix. We also have, we need to reauthorize NASA, the space programs. Both this president and the previous president agree, and I support, that we have to get back to the moon and onto Mars before the Chinese government gets there. And then there's something else, the commercial space bill. How do we move from the government paying for and doing things in space over to private industry? AI, quantum, weather can pass on the suspension calendar with 2/3. Commercial space and NASA are harder because the committee and the White House, we don't agree, and we've got to work our way through that. But there are big things in science we can do that'll make a real difference in the intermediate and the long term of the future of the country.
Finally, Congressman, you've got a front row seat in Roger Mills County with all these wildfires we've had in the last couple of weeks. Your thoughts on those?
Million plus acres. Mm. I feel for the Texans. If you don't got a moment, I did a road trip tour to Gage, Shattuck, across the Glacier, Texas, Canadian, came back around on 33 to Durham, south side of the Canadian, tighter ground, short grass, it'll be back. But on the north side of the Canadian, between Glacier and Canadian, sandy land. Mm-hmm. Never been farmed, just sandy. And the fire was hot enough, it took off all the cover. The dirt was blowing. It looked like something out of the 1930s. Those pastures were blowing sand. That'll take a while to overcome the environmental damage.
Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.